Throughout noted, it should come as no surprise that the United States has fully backed the Zionist regime in its recent assault against Gaza. In the hours before the Zionist regime began raining down more bombs on the besieged territory, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke with the Zionist regime Foreign Minister Eli Cohen over the phone. While the readout of their call did not mention what war at the time, escalating tensions with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, it is certain that the matter was discussed and that the Zionist regime's intention to bring still more devastation to Gaza did not catch the United States by surprise. Yet, as always, the U.S. response, or lack thereof, is important and needs to be examined. Under President Joe Biden's administration, the U.S. silent support of virtually all Israeli regime actions against the Palestinians has remained as absolute as it was during the administration of Donald Trump, despite growing unease with the Zionist regime's behavior among the majority of Americans. In the occupied territories, the assault on Gaza and the commitment rocket fire coming into southern occupied territories have served to provide a temporary scab over the fracture in the Zionist regime society caused by the current government's efforts to destroy the democracy. In the United States, it has allowed the people to more easily ignore this growing authoritarianism mere days ahead of 75th anniversary of the Zionist regime's Nakba. The argument that Israel has the right to defend itself has quickly made the rounds, and with it, the narrative that the rockets launched from Gaza were random, unprovoked, and expressions of an irrational Palestinian desire to kill Israelis. The reality is, of course, very different, and its burial is a key strategic component that must be countered. On May 2nd, PIJ spokesperson and activist Khazar Adnan died in an Israeli regime prison after an 87-day hunger strike. Despite his outspoken advocacy for resistance and activism in PIJ, the fabricated regime of Israel never charged Adnan with any act of violence. He died after the Zionist regime refused to transfer him to the hospital, despite warnings that his condition was life-threatening. Many viewed Adnan's death as killing by deliberate inaction, and rockets were launched from Gaza while protesters confronted the Zionist regime security forces in the West Bank. A ceasefire and the quiet day-to-day occupation and Israeli regime dominance briefly resumed. But some in the occupied territories were dissatisfied that the Israeli regime response was not harsher. Itamar Ben-Gvir, the radical Kahanist Minister of Internal Security, boycotted government activity and even raised the specter of quitting the government if the Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu did not move to do more damage to Gaza. Netanyahu denied this was the reason for breaking the fragile ceasefire that was reached after May 2nd, but in any case, the Zionist regime launched its latest operation and, in the first wave, killed not only three PIJ leaders but 10 others, including the entire family of one of those targeted. In all, at least 34 Palestinians, including 6 children, have been martyred. In this case, it is clearer than usual that this was in no way the Zionist regime defending itself. The fabricated regime of Israel provoked the entire episode by killing Khadr Adnan through willful neglect. Then, when a brief escalation was stopped, the Zionist regime made the decision, whether due to Ben-Gvir's pressure or not, to attack not only PIJ in a blatantly illegal extrajudicial killing, but to do so by bombing their residences, when their spouses and children would be sleeping and at their most defenseless. Despite reports that the Biden administration was urging the Zionist regime to find a way to resume the ceasefire, the Israeli regime continued its airstrikes against Gaza. PIJ rockets continued to fly from Gaza in response, and while the overwhelming majority of these either fell harmlessly or were intercepted, one did strike a residential building in a Tel Aviv suburb, causing a fatality which will mean ongoing escalation. Netanyahu stated that the attacks on Gaza would continue as long as necessary, a clear indication that any pressure from Washington was not serious. Indeed, senior Biden administration officials, including National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and Ambassador to the Occupied Territories Tom Knight, were all unified and unequivocal in their full support of the fabricated regime of Israel, barely paying lip service to hope for a ceasefire.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program of Viewpoints. I am Bita, the host of today's episode, and here with me there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Brother Hassanin. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, as you know, we talked about one of the most important essential issues of the Islamic world, about the condition of Palestinian people in Palestine. We had several programs in this viewpoint, I don't know, about the struggles, the problems, the issues that these kind of Palestinian people are going through. And also, we talked about why we have to help these kind of people in need and what are the responsibilities of Islamic Ummah in these issues. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about some special point of view and dimension of this issue and the lessons, you know, the things that we can learn from all these dramas, these kind of accidents and incidents, and these sufferings. You know, we are watching a scene of suffer, of beauty, and so many things. And I to elucidate these beauty and the lesson of this scene that we are watching. Yeah. Brother Ali,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. You ask about the lessons that we could take from the Palestinian issue, or the greatest issue in the Islamic Ummah, which is the issue of Palestine.
Yeah.
We have actually witnessed for last 7 decades what happened to the Palestinians, from the massacre, from the violence, from the waves of suffocation and waves of violence on these people, bloodshed, and whatever has come to these people. The worst ways of massacre of people has been seen and witnessed in this area. And we have seen the killing of even kids and babies, and too many scenes of wretchedness that has been reported by this regime on this occupied land. But the lessons that we can take from the whole story are even more important than what happened there. Like, I mean, the ways that the lessons that actually led to the change of a great decision in the minds of the people to change their approach towards the Zionist regime. That is, from the time that they started with stoning them and the stones, and let's say stone battle, to a missile battle these days.
Yeah.
So they have found out their ways. I mean, the people understood what in what ways they need to revive and to get back to their own motherland and to take back their own rights. So these lessons, though actually were taken from bitter lessons, but they are important and worthy of actually acting upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. After all these catastrophes that happened and came to the people, to the Palestinians. So Allah, at the end of this holy verse, actually gives good tidings to the believers that وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Tell the patients, tell the patient that, give them the good tidings, and they should be waiting for a good news at the end of the day. So we are seeing the kind of change that is flourishing in the action, in the activities of the youth of Palestinians, what we couldn't see, for example, 4 decades ago.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 years ago, but we see it today. So this kind of changing the approach and the retaliation of whatever happens there very quickly, right after any event, so it means a good lesson has come to people. They learned that negotiations called, I don't know, entitled as peace negotiations, I don't know, negotiations for
peace talks.
Peace talks are not working anymore.
Yeah.
Because they have seen the results. Different kinds of talks that they had in Egypt, in Palestine, in America, in Geneva. So they understood that they are useless because they have seen the fruit of those talks, and it works no more. They understood that in order to survive, in order to take their right back, they need to actually create a sense of a morale of jihad, inside the whole Islamic Ummah rather than themselves. And in case some in last generation made mistakes and actually accepted cooperation with the Zionist entity, so they are now actually changing their mind in a defensive manner. So I think it is a great change that had happened, and these lessons are more important than the violence that came to these people earlier,
yeah,
and the massacre that. So every society, in order to find his life, needs to sacrifice something. So they sacrificed quite a lot.
Yeah.
And now, inshallah, for the reward of that sacrifice that they had, Allah will, inshallah, give them some good tidings with the new change and new approaches that they have in their strategies, in their fightings, and in the battlefront. Hopefully, inshallah, they are very, very close to the victory.
Inshallah. Thank you, brother, for your explanation. You mentioned something really important that I want to clarify more. You talked about that point that they talked to Israel and they negotiated. There were ways like these in the past that we got to this point in this lesson that this is meaningless and useless to negotiate with these people,
mm-hmm,
with Israel, and so on. And this is more of an illusion of hope to just coexist with these people.
Very true.
Why is it so, Brother Hassani?
As Brother Ali has already mentioned about the, he's given a pretty much good introduction about the Palestinian cause. I feel like, you know, first of all, getting back to the previous question, that what are the lessons that we can learn?
Yeah.
So we see all this resistance and uprising of the Palestinian people from so many years. One of the main lessons, which is in fact can be called, we can rather I would say as a victory, is that, you know, these uprising of the Palestinian people have ruined the calculations of the Israel.
Yeah.
You know, over the period of time, over all these years of oppressing the people, Israel thought that they would be successful, that, you know, the people, after being oppressed for a long period of time, they'll lose the energy, they'll lose the determination, and henceforth they will be able to occupy the land. But you know, you see, when you see this amount of resistance again and again, continuously, consecutively, you don't see any resting in between. So that puts Israel under pressure. So the lesson is, we have to never lose hope.
Yeah.
This is the hope and the determination of the people that they're still fighting back. So this fighting back is still, you know, is still pressurizing Israel. So, the, you know, fighting back is, you know, as Israel thought that they would, you know, lose energy and they would set them aside.
For
but
sure.
This never happened because of the continuous resistance. And talking about the peace talks was, what I feel is, you know, they were just trying to misportray things on the larger scale, on the worldly scale, what is happening inside the Palestinian, what are the Israelis doing and what are the Palestinians are doing. So they were just, you know, they just try to make their own commentary and just present something to the world. So this was just for erasing the memories of the Palestinians and erasing the efforts made by the Palestinians. That's what I think.
Yeah, thank you for elaboration. But, you know, you mentioned some important facts, but I think here the main reason not negotiating with these people is that, you know, when you negotiate with someone, you expect them to understand you, to have some standards of, I don't know, of human, of being human. But I think this is not true about Israel and all of its power and so on. And you mentioned something else, that they fight back Israel and they are powerful, of course, for sure Palestinian people are powerful. And we have to learn this power as a lesson of this issue. But I want you to elaborate this power of Palestinian people for us more, Brother Ali.
Actually collect between this question of yours and the previous one to add one more lesson, which even answers the this late question of yours as well. It was quite common between the, let's say, neighboring countries of Israel, that Israel is a power that will never defeat.
Yeah.
So Palestinians and the resistance line show that this this hegemonic power is defeatable, and the signs of which was seen in the defeat of the south of Lebanon in 2003 and 2013, I think. If I'm not sure about the date. It was 2013 or 2003.
Yeah.
So it was quite astonishing for the world that Israel defeated from a small group of, let's say, were defeated by a small military group, I mean, or militia, called Hezbollah. So for Palestinians themselves, it was very beautiful. Okay, so it's not it is not that unbreakable that they were thinking. So this power can be broken. And later, slowly, people understood that this resistance line should be strengthened. And they did so. And they found themselves and they found this courage to confront with them in their own land. We see in the history of Palestine and confrontations that they had with Palestinians, too many times they attacked Gaza. But the last time, whenever they attacked Gaza, they received a good answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was not like before. What was the beginning of this story? It was at the time that they have been defeated and the kind of repulsion that they had at the time of war with Hezbollah. So this, actually it injected a sort of energy inside the hearts and souls of Palestinians and even all Islam world that this Israel is not the Israel that they were thinking. And those illusions of having an hegemonic power that will never defend, and it is backed by a superpower like America or even NATO.
Yeah.
So they are all in vain. I mean, it is as if this, what really, in the real sense, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah actually called it the Beit an awhan al buyut la Beit al ankabut. He said Israel is the Beit al ankabut, the house of spider, the house of spider. So it is really the house of spider. Now, it was, I mean, if I was saying such thing, I mean, in 10 years ago, it was not that actually interesting to you or even the listeners. But let's see the Israel today.
Yeah, the current situation.
What is it like today? I mean, you really find some days without any demonstrations and let's say riots in the cities. But between themselves, they have they themselves actually found out that negative migration to Israel, it has meaning for them.
Yeah.
I mean, when they are rushing to go out of Israel, it has meaning again. When they do not see a day or night in silence or in peace, at least in tranquility, which is the greatest blessings of Allah for His creatures, the blessing of security and tranquility, and they are not seeing it anymore. So it means that this, whatever we have been saying and analyzing in last 10 days, they are all ended true, and we are seeing the fruit of it today.
Yeah, thank you for your elaboration. We're going to discuss it more in the later episodes. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. Hope you actually be showered with the blessings of Allah. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. No father to wipe away my tears. That's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart. I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will
Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us ponder on this brief but beautiful piece of advice from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, the sixth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Sleep little at night and speak little during the day. The less thankful organs are the eye and the tongue.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Immersion in the virtual world.
Part 2.
Searing graphic images, a cool and immersive universe where you are the hero. It's far from Mom and Dad's Pong, Tetris, and Super Mario. But today's video games are also about money. Lots of money. An industry that racks up $83 billion a year, according to some financial experts. That's more than the movies. To sell, what works is often used and abused. Sex, and especially violence. It stands out in big box stores. The most numerous and visible games are not recommended if you are under 18 years old. In the world of psychopaths or even soldiers, the idea is to lick the enemy. A vicious circle that is not always easy to escape. Mike is 19 years old with Swiss and American citizenship. He was immersed in FPS video games at a young age, first-person shooter games.
I've played games ever since I was a kid, really, with my friends, by myself, with my family, always. Back then, it was just, you know, a hobby that I would do for fun and something that, you know, a common hobby that I would share with my friends. But then eventually, it started getting to the point where I was depending on it emotionally.
Hours after the massacre, the New York journalist Matthew Lisiak was sent on site. He investigated Newtown for nearly 5 months.
In telling this story, it's not to glorify a killer. It's to try to understand why this happened. Because if we stop trying to really figure out why these things happen, we give up the future to the next killer. And I have four daughters. You know, I'm not prepared to let that happen.
Why does this massacre also interest us? Police quickly made a stunning discovery in the Lanza's home. Bedroom windows covered with black plastic bags, a den full of arms and ammunition, but also computer screens, computer consoles, and video games.
They were things that we found in the literature review. We had people, we contacted scholars who were well-known in the field, asked them to send us recent studies we may not know or anything they thought that we should be aware of. And we just accumulated all of them and sorted through them all and scored them and read them and spent a lot of time evaluating them.
Dozens of studies from around the world. The most recent we could find. The very best of science in this field. The result?
The findings that we had were pretty consistent overall. We got an effect for overall aggression, so just everything, a composite score. Then we got effects for aggressive behavior, for thinking about aggression, for being roused by playing with aggressive video game content, for being desensitized to it, for being less empathic, less prosocial. So just an array of different findings that came out very consistently.
No proof that violent video games make you a killer, but there is a but. Contrary to what many people think, they don't curb your frustrations.
That's wishful thinking, that you get your aggressive feelings out by playing games, because we find people get more aroused, not less aroused, and that they're thinking about aggression and they're acting aggressively and they're less empathic and they're less prosocial. So they're not draining off aggressive impulses. That's just not happening by game playing in terms of anything that we saw in the data.
These scientific conclusions are shared by numerous experts in Switzerland too. And even players notice it. Not easy to remain calm in certain online games when the goal is to shoot others dead. More complicated, however, is recognizing that this violence also affects oneself.
I think people don't want to believe that it has an effect on them, but it does. I mean, if you look at the data and if you look at the studies, there are consistent and persistent effects of using violent video games on a number of dimensions of human functioning. The science is the science. The data speak for themselves, and we looked at the data very carefully across large numbers of studies. So I think that was part of why we are convinced that it is a risk factor. But it's not going to affect everybody in the same way, and that's probably why some people say, well, it didn't affect me at all.
To reach all its conclusions, the American meta-analysis integrates many lab tests, like these conducted in Grenoble. This experiment compares the level of aggressiveness between two players without them knowing it. One plays a game that is brutal, the other a sports game, for example. Researchers analyzed the heartbeat, measuring the intent to hurt the other by inflicting sound shocks and evaluating the aggressive thoughts of each player. Again, it's very clear. Violent content increases aggressiveness. In a nutshell, the more you kill virtually, the more real harm done. And a video game is not exactly a movie, according to this professor of social psychology. Return to Switzerland in the canton of Bern. A little tour in this ordinary school courtyard where we quickly understand that our little darlings don't just play pacifist games, quite the contrary. Roland Naev has been working in this school for 30 years and elected socialist for 20 years. For him, reality and fiction are increasingly intertwined. And he is convinced in certain cases that virtual violence may even lead to taking action. Some players will cry scandal. Taking action is obviously a point that makes for polemics.
And rightly so, it's difficult to have scientific proof. The desire to know more sent us back to Connecticut. 4 years after the massacre, we went to Sandy Hook. With this question in the firing line, why? What's striking coming here is the apparent calm and the willingness to forget this fatal December the 14th, 2012. In Newtown's rich neighborhoods, the home of the young gunman was totally razed. 5 kilometers from there, the elementary school too. The bricks were pulverized to leave no trace. A new school is still under construction.
Another friend referred to Adam as a shut-in. His mental health issues, combined with his military ambitions, his gaming habit, and a dramatic decline in any form of social interaction, had caused the young man to withdraw further and further from reality. Even the shooting range was barely appealing. The months leading up to the shooting, he almost spoke to nobody. He just stayed in his room, playing violent video games. Occasionally would go to the mall where he would play Dance Dance Revolution hours on end. And he was plotting this, but he was kind of falling further and further into a state of what experts refer to as psychosis, which is just like the connection he had with reality, which we all have when largely from interactions we talk to other people. He had none of that. There were no lines. He wouldn't even talk to his mom towards the end. Completely cut her off. So his mom would communicate with Adam through emails.
An evil plunge into the virtual, confirmed by experts from the Child Protective Services of Connecticut.
I mean, I think it was the sense of everybody who looked at the documents that we looked at, conversations with the FBI Behavioral Analysis Unit, a debriefing by them, absolutely living in this parallel universe, was extraordinarily unhealthy.
Her office had access to the young killer's medical report, to his academic records, and also to the confidential reports of the police and the FBI. It also comes to light that Adam Lanza had dangerous predispositions.
Certainly there is a sense he was on the autism spectrum disorder. There's a larger sense that he had very significant interfering obsessive compulsive disorder, not a kind of global interest, but only things that he wanted to learn about. And there was enormous acquiescence on his family's part to that, not sort of pushing him or, you know, trying to get him to expand his horizons or, in fact, seek significant treatment as he became more and more and more isolated and withdrawn to then seek some help for him.
But was he a violent kid?
There was nothing that we saw in his record to indicate that he was a violent child.
Isolation, addiction to violent video games, mental vulnerability, poor parental support. The eye of a storm capable of destroying everything in its path due to one last risk factor. In this case, easy access to weapons.
And here's a boy that's not going out and doing anything but has access to an arsenal of weapons in his home because it's the thing he expressed interest in. And that's part of the parental appeasement. Oh, that's what you're interested in? That's the only thing you're interested in? Okay, we'll buy you more of those. That's not what he needed. He needed mental health treatment. He needed friends. He needed relationships. He needed his father. He needed his brother. And he didn't have any of that in his life anymore.
Today's special.
Oh, Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salam. Welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And during this episode, we're going to speak about how to talk to Allah. So be with us.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so, I love you so.
Today is Monday, 24th of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Ordibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. You're going to listen to today's special, and this is IRIB English Radio from Iran. As usual, we open Allah's book, and we choose one ayah to listen to and learn about it. For today we have chapter At-Talaq, verse 3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa yarzuquhu min haythu la yahtasib. Wa man yatawakkal 'ala Allahi fa huwa hasbuh. Inna Allaha balighu amrihi. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that Allah will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined, and whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him, since Allah will accomplish his purpose and he has set a measure for all things. Thus, male and female witnesses are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of truth, but they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke Allah for removing the impediments, since He guarantees that whoever puts his trust in Him, he will be delivered from entanglements.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I, when I have you, to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
How to talk to your Lord? We often fall into a trap of viewing faith and prayer as a last resort, a fallback plan. As Muslims, it should really be our first point of call. We should be comforted in the knowledge that faith provides a security net for us all. When we really break it down, dua is a fundamental part of our existence because it is just talking. We are talking to Allah. How much more simple can it be? Dua is so much more. It is a direct way of communicating with the one who wants to listen anytime, anywhere. Allah loves it when you ask of Him, and it is through asking from Him that you gain a deeper closeness.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Does God really hear us? Today we are going to talk about this important question. That does God really hear us, and why does God sometimes not answer our prayers? This is an important question that we want to answer today. A university student has not studied and prays that he passes. If he says, they say that a student once came to home and went straight into his room and became busy with his prayers. He prayed that the Himalayas be placed in a particular country and that the lake of Urmia be placed in Neshabur. The mother asked, what kind of prayer is that? The student replied that he answered some questions incorrectly and was praying that the geographical locations of these places to be changed so that he can get the marks in this test. Are we praying at the right time, and have we fulfilled the other conditions for the prayers? In Islam, advice for the best times for praying for our needs have been gifted to us. They are Thursday nights, the night before Friday, dawn, after the daily prayers, Friday at sunset, after the Friday sermon of Friday prayers, during rainfall, and while our tears are flowing. Are our problems really problems, or we are imagining that they are problems? Many problems are necessary for the normal functioning of the natural world, and the lifting of those problems means the destruction of the natural law of the world. A poor man who has a house with a broken roof will hear the sounds of the rain falling upon his roof. In order to solve the poor man's problem, either God has to stop the rain altogether, or for it not rain on top of the man's house, or for the rain not penetrate through to the broken roof, or any of those will mean that some divine law must be broken in order for it to occur. Any of those will mean that some divine law must be broken in order for it to occur.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
One of the acts of worship when we can't pray is making dua and talk to our Creator. What do I mean? Take time to talk to Allah. Tell Him that you want to know Him better, that you want to be happy and successful in this life and the next. Ask Him to settle whatever troubles you may have, and rest assured that whatever difficulty you are going through does not go unnoticed by the one who always listens. The Prophet said, dua itself is worship, and Allah commands us to make dua to Him. This concept is in the Holy Quran, chapter 40, verse 60. Thinking of what to say to Allah can sometimes feel overwhelming. Make dua for others too. The Prophet said, the supplication of a Muslim for his brother in his absence will certainly be answered. Every time he makes a supplication for good for his brother, the angel appointed for this particular task says, Amen. May it be for you too. Now, how to talk to Allah through dua? Prayer or dua, which means praying to Allah, it is asking. It's a kind of asking. You are asking for His grace by presenting your wishes and needs, form the basis of Muslims' communication with Allah. In the Quran, say, if you do not have a prayer, why should my Lord value you? This is in chapter Furqan, verse 7. And it can be understood from this verse, the first demand of Almighty Allah from a believer is to be in constant communication with Him. As a Muslim keeps this communication alive through prayer, it gains value in the sight of his Lord. Prayer is not just for asking for help in time of troubles, because Allah criticizes the people who use prayer only to ask for help in the following verse. When waves like mountains surround them, they beg Allah with sincere belief. But when Allah rescues them and takes them ashore, some of them keep His word. That is in chapter Al-Luqman, verse 32.
We have to build a healthy relationship with God so that when we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go at peace. And eventually we are all going back to Allah. Every single one of us is going to go back to God whether we want it or not. Here, we are the ones who make the decision. Every single person, the believer and the non-believer, is going back to God. Inna lillah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Everyone will eventually meet God and return to God. The question is, am I willing to return to Allah? Am I willing to bring my soul back to its pure state by purifying it, by having a healthy, sound relationship with my Lord? Or am I waiting for the angel of death to drag me back to Allah? Here, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given us a pathway out of His love, out of His mercy, out of His compassion. He's paved the way for us to return back to Him. And that is through repentance. That is through istighfar. That is through tawbah. Every single one of us, we are sinners. But we have the opportunity to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given us that. No matter what sin you have committed, no matter what past you have the chance to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most merciful.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. And till then, fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? Told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.